Journey questions. We all have a lot of questions about a lot of different things in our life. But have you ever stopped to think about why that we leave the foot of the cross to begin with? Why do we leave and walk away from the cross to have to make all these continual journeys back to the cross? When God created you and me, He created us with free will. God created every personality individually. He is the one that assigned to your personality and my personality independence. There is a desire inside the heart of every human being to check out that close-knit, independent desire from within. It means that, well, we call each other, well, you just stubborn. No, I'm independent. Well, that's stubborn. You're hard-headed. And we go through all of this in life. When the fact remains, God created us to be individualist from one another, but never from God. Hear me now. I am called to be a special personality. You will never ever meet another personality like mine. Amen. Thank you, Joey, having me out there. You will never meet that. See, there's never going to be another personality like you. You are special in God's sight. Now, you know all those little idiosyncrasies that you have, or how you scratch your ear, how you chew your fingernails, of how you know all the different little things that you do. That's a part of who you are. So God says you're special, but you're very special to me. I have created you in a particular time slot, in a particular time of history, during a situation where I need you to be there. Therefore, God says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to be about the business that I've given you. But Lord, everybody says no to me. Everybody says you don't want to do this and you don't want to do that. You know, we parents sometimes we get a little off center. That's because our focus is wanting the best for our children. We want the best, but sometimes we sort of forget that as an individual, God is the one that knows what is best. Now, I remember well my teenage years. I do. And anybody that was around me during my teenage years, they remember. They do. Matter of fact, most of them remember a whole lot of stuff I never did, but they want to say, I remember when you did. I'm not the one who did that. I got enough trouble with what I did do. But you see, that's a part of growing up. Growing up's not easy. You know, I would have said in the older days, You know, our generation, we've had it rougher than anybody, any generation. Let me tell you the roughest generation that since I've been born to watch kids grow up in is the one you're living in right now. There are more ways to get at your child technologically than at any other time in history. And they can be pulled into this and pulled into that. Okay, what am I to do? You are to do your best as a God-called parent to raise your child in the way that they should go. And the scripture says when you do that, when they are old, they will not turn from it. Well, Lord, it's looking like a lot of turning's going on. So Jesus saw what was going on during his human generation of growth. So he sets aside a true story that he wants everyone to listen to. So this is Jesus telling the story of what we call the prodigal son, the wayward son. Well, if you are a son today, I want you to know something. You fit that category. If you're a teenager today, you fit that category. Really? Sure, because you are growing. The generations are growing. God created you for this time period. So therefore, what I grew up in, it's gone. What you're growing up in, God is training you to deal with. You're going to have to face life out there with only you and God. See, we can't be there. Your parents love you, folks. But I realize that none of us can be there during your whole life period. So the best we can do is give you direction. And our direction as Christians is listen to the Lord as he speaks to you. God will never leave us nor forsake us. Raise them in the way they ought to go. Now, does that help ease the pain? No. There was a father, had two sons. Both the sons had been raised the same way. Both been raised with responsibility. Both encouraged. And the one son, the younger son, comes to his father and says, Father, give to me my inheritance. Now, before you get too hard on this one, the culture, always go back to the culture of the time period. The culture of this time was, and often was, that the father would decide to give the children their inheritance so he could watch them enjoy it. So it wasn't uncommon for this to take place. But what you need to understand is, fine, son, I will give to you your inheritance. And to the other son, he said, I'll give you your inheritance. Both boys get their inheritance. One son decides to stay at home. He sort of likes it there. That's his personality. But he has his inheritance, and it was a wealthy inheritance, and he still got to enjoy also all that his father had. The other young boy, the youngest son, he decides, no, I'm going to leave. Listen to this. Why do we journey away? Why do we journey away from home? Why do we journey away from the cross? Because so often we have such a desire to cut the shackles that we see or think bind us. You know, there's something different out there, and I have to go make my place, leave my footprint in the world. That's true. But that doesn't mean it's easy on anybody. Moms, dads, family members, nothing is easy like that. But it also deals with adventure. Now, this young man that Jesus is talking about, he's a little wild. He was looking for excitement. Why, the bright lights of the big city. Woo! You know when those lights start flashing always loved going to a carnival. I loved the lights. I loved the honky-tonk. Is it honky-tonk? I loved the music, the pipe organs or and the old ones that would play. And I loved that stuff. The lights would flash. I'm dazzled, you know. I'm hypnotized. Going up there, do you want to take a chance on winning a piece of something that's not worth anything? Yeah. Yes, I do. I'll pick that duck as it floats by. And just might have a chance at getting the right number. Nobody ever knew what that was or anything except for the person trying to decide how many of these things have I given away and what do I do next. But it was the excitement of it. It's the adventure, the excitement. And the young boy says in Luke 15:13, not long after he got his inheritance, the younger son got together all he had. Woo! I got it. Well, I'm wealthy for this time period. And I'm going to go. He set off for a distant country. And there squandered his wealth in wild living. Now, what's called wild living? The living that's completely the opposite of how you were raised. Okay? It don't really have to be too wild sometimes. But in a lot of cases it is, because see, once I take a step into this door, I'm pulled in. That first step will get you right over the line so often. And so the adventure, the difference, this young man had a lot of arrogance about him. I can just picture and I can hear him. And he would talk to his dad, Dad, I don't want what you're giving anymore. I've had enough, Dad. I'm leaving. I don't want you telling me what to do, Dad. Not anymore. I'm grown now. I'm a my own man. I gotta go. I cannot imagine all the horrible things that were said. And his dad and his mom would watch as he leaves over the hill and he fades away as a young son is going seeking his place in life. Did he think about the words he was saying before he left? No. No. See, when we're young, it used to be when you're young, you're dumb. Now, when we're young, we just say stuff a lot of times that we have no, and even in our heart, we know it's wrong. But we say it, and we don't know how to take it back. Well, I got news for you. You need to do the adults. We make these foolish statements and all of that stuff we wish we could take back. Don't you remember those? Yeah, that's what you said this morning trying to get ready to come to church. You know, you make those silly statements, rough statements, but you really don't mean it the way it's coming out. But it's too late. And they journey away from home because they're pulled by the desire to be independent. I need to be on my own. It's a world out there, folks. You listen to me, young people. That world does not love you. That world doesn't even like you. But that world will use you for all it can get out of you, and then it will spit you out. You be thankful if you have loving parents. You'd be thankful if you were raised to where your parents would tell you the stories of Jesus Christ, the true story about life and true love. You'd be thankful. And God watches as that young man takes off. When do we realize our mistake? We realize our mistake when we're in need. Your pockets might be full when you walk out the door, but foolishly, they get empty quickly. This young man, here he is, in riotous living, the scripture says, meaning he went out and he was looking for a fox. And he found all the foxy ladies he could imagine. One too many. Spent all that he had. Had all sorts of friends. When you got money, you got friends. When you got money and you're taking care of them and you're footing a bill, you got a lot of friends. But then when the money runs out, he got out in the, well, let's read the scripture. Luke 15, verses 14 through 16. You ready? Let me remind you, this is Jesus telling this story. After he had spent everything, after you spend everything, you can't find a friend. Remember what I've done for you? Well, I don't even remember you. Who are you? I just left yesterday. Well, I don't know you. Look, I can't afford to buy you a hamburger, a hot dog. Here's, I don't know what nachos cost anymore. Here, go buy a bag of potato chips. Eat, drink, and be merry. But don't come talking to me anymore. You don't even have any money, boy. So listen, after he had spent everything, there was a severe famine. You think this kid wasn't learning quick? There was a severe famine in the whole country. And he began to be in need. That boy getting hungry. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of the country. Now listen, he's Jewish. Now you're going to love this one. Who sent him to the field, his fields, to feed pigs. The Jewish folks had nothing to do with swine. And here this poor teenage kid is. He's been sent to slop the pigs. Now listen. He longed, this young boy, he longed to fill his stomach with the pods, with pig slop, with the pods that the pigs were eating. Oh, this is how generous those separated from your family are. But no one gave him anything. Here, I want you to go out and I want you to slop the pigs, and I better not see you joining in and eating any of that slop. But I'm starving. This young man was physically starving to death because he was hurting. He gets on his knees and he's thanking. You get overworked. You get that hungry. You realize you have nothing. You realize how far down in life that you have fallen, you will get on your knees. And down on his knees, the only way was he needed to look up. The only way he could find help, when he became so in need, he sought relief from that need. When do we realize it's time to go back home? I love this scripture too. Listen, folks, young folks, old folks, you are gonna have a bad case of the stupids a whole lot of times in your life. You got me? Anybody here that's never had a case of the stupids? Then you got a case of the lying. You got me? We do foolish things. But I got something news for you. The most foolish things that I've ever done have never pulled me away from the love of my Savior who gave his life for me on that cross. I will never hear the voice of my Savior saying, "Don't you come back to the foot of my cross. Don't you come back." But I will always hear him saying, "Come on home. Won't you come? My arms are open for you. Won't you come?" Are you hearing me, folks? Hear it well. When he came to his senses, Luke 15, 17 and 19. When he came to his senses. Well, you know, young man, you just got to come to your senses. Young lady, you need to come to your senses. We adults say that a lot. You know why? We heard it a lot growing up. You know, you better get a hold of yourself, boy. You better grow up and grow up quick. Don't you know you're getting ready to make a mistake? No! I was a teenager, dumber than a box of rocks. I didn't know anything. I thought I did. And I got in the Marine Corps at 17, and they said, "You don't know anything." And I realized I didn't know anything. But life taught me so many lessons. Life. But there's a key to life. I can do anything as long, and I can go through any situation as long as I know that somewhere, somebody loves me. Somebody loves me. And many of us say anybody. My daddy died when I was around 5 years old. I never heard "I love you" from my household. I never heard. Never heard it. I love all my children. No. I love you. You got it? Parents, don't let that ever be a part of your family. Because that kid never outgrows it. "I love you." You say it. Gosh, I say it so many times. "Jason, I love you. Hunter, I love you. Love you, Dad. Love you, Papa." They better, "I'll come down, Papa." Hunter didn't even know what I meant by "I'll pop you." You see, love, folks, it matters. When he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired men have food to spare? And here I am starving to death," he said. Ah, the light bulb goes on. "I will set out and go to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men.'" Woo. I remember one thing you can say. I was never able to say this, but you can. So many of you can. I know where I'm loved. I know where I'm loved. I do know now where I'm loved. And when you know it, you better appreciate it. Because you see, when you get into that real world and you see the world as it is, you're not going to like it. And they ain't going to like you. So where's your hope in your raising? That's where it is. All time in the Marine Corps, what saved my life in combat was my training. What saves your life in real life, it is the training you receive in the home before you go out into the world. Now, you've got to get into the world. That's your calling. You can't stay hid. You got to get in. But be careful on the journey and remember your footing. Your footing is on the solid rock, given to you by the solid rock. Okay, all the decisions have been made. The questions are answered. The feeling is there, and then all of a sudden we decide I'm going back home. I guarantee you the smile will come on their face because they're going back to where they know they're loved, they're cared for. What happens? This young man, he had already made up in his mind, Dad, I'm not worthy. All I want to be is a hired servant. He had, his speech was all laid out. He went over and went over and went over it. I'll tell Dad just to let me go out with the servants. That's all I want. I'll at least have a place to live. While he's still a far way off, the scripture says, Luke 15:20. So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, way out there, you know, it's like coming over the horizon. Here comes the son back home. Dad! Dad had been out on that front porch looking. Every night wanting to see whether or not son came home. He was always wanting son to come back. Mama, maybe tonight. Maybe tonight he'll come back. And this night he's out there. And he's looking. And he sees a silhouette coming over the ridge. And he looks. Oh, it wasn't difficult. He knew that walk a mile away. He knew the gait of that walk a mile away. He knew how that son was going to swing his arms. He knew his son. And he looked and he saw him. And the scripture said, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion, love for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. And a deeper study of the scripture, here's what he did. And no Jewish elderly man ever did this. For one thing, they never ran. That's what the kids were to do. The young men around him, if there was any running to be done, they did it. They fetched it, and they brought it back to Dad. But he looked, and he saw his son. His son was gone. And while his son was gone, so was a part of his heart. Mama, that's him. And he took off running. He also threw his coat off. That's slowing him down. His boy was coming over that ridge. He threw his coat. You never did that. A good Jewish elderly man never let that happen. It was not distinguished to do that. But this was Dad. Looking at his boy, and he could care less about tradition. He was going to his boy. He takes off running, filled with compassion, he ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. His son began to say, "But Dad, I'm sorry." Never did the father let him finish. Never. The father yells out, "Get some sandals on my son's feet. Put the robe around my son. Hey, you two, go kill that fatted calf. Because my son was lost, but now he's found. It's party time." And the banquet was thrown. Because that was lost was found. That part of the dad's heart was as broken as was the son's. But now, son's home. Welcome home, son. You are a part of me. That's what coming back to the cross. That's the journey to the cross. I go to that cross in remembrance of where I found peace, where I found joy, and where I found my first love was at that cross. Life has a way of dimming the vision of that. And then yet life has a way of bringing it, brightening it up, opening it up wide open until I realize I'm going back to the cross where I first saw the light, where I first heard, "I love you. Just like you are." That's love. That's a father's love. That's a mama's love. That's a sister's love. That's a brother's love. That's true love that only Jesus can teach. And only you and I can accept and receive. It don't get better. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, dear Lord God, for the joy of salvation, for you being our Father in heaven, for you, dear Lord God, watching each step that we take, and for your forgiveness, Father, through your Son. We praise your name. Help us now to walk your life this week and in the weeks to come. For through your love, Father, we know what love is all about. Through your peace, we can share that peace. Through your acceptance of us, we can accept one another. We ask that peace now, Father, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. To be a part of the family of God is an awesome, awesome gift that God gives. I hope and pray that you feel that way and you be thankful when you have a family where you can hear, "I love you." Precious. God bless you.